Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All right, welcome everybody. Second hour today of Political Coffee. Great to have you with us. I appreciate those of you who let me go on through that piece because I think it is important for us to understand what is happening to us and why the elites are so in your face and why they don't care. 503-589-1220. Why they don't care that we know the game they're playing with us. Because they think they got it all in the bag, folks. This is very dangerous. And it's very wrong. And something's happening out there and it ain't going to be successful. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. You can also send me an email to jeff@1220.am or jeff@kslm.news. Dale wrote me an email expressing his frustration that I think many of us feel. He says, I remain mystified by your assertion that the Oregon Republican legislators, I'm primarily the Senate Republicans, are scared to walk out or otherwise confront Democrats. If it could be shown, he writes, that their lives or limbs or both or the safety of their families were threatened, that would be one thing, but you indicate that they are under no such level of duress. Yeah, because it's about getting reelected. No, I'm quite serious. I mean, it's a reasonable concern they have about that. You know, Tim Knope is in a big Democrat district now over in Deschutes County because all of these tax refugees, middle-class refugees, are leaving California and they're coming to Bend. Because it's still cheaper to live in Bend, believe it or not, than it is in California in many places. Unfortunately, they're bringing their liberal policies and their voter registration with them. So Tim Knope's got to worry about getting reelected. And unfortunately, that's not being a statesman. That's being a politician. Because the statesman would figure out how you message these things, like your constitutional right to defend your family with a firearm. Your human right to defend your family with a firearm. But they don't think that way. No, they don't really believe, some do, but not the majority apparently of the Oregon Senate Republican caucus that really believes that the safety of their families are being threatened. Because if they did, they'd be willing to walk out. Dale continues with his frustration, and he writes, they willingly and deliberately sought out positions in the Oregon House and Senate that they occupy. They swore an oath to defend the constitutions of Oregon and the United States. There was no duress at any point. The individuals chose their own path at every turn to engage as politicians. Countless people on the face of this earth are suffering and dying like dogs, fighting for freedom from totalitarian hells on earth that they were very likely born into. And our representatives are afraid of appearances? Our state is dying. Our country is dying. There's no time for this mindless vanity. Yeah, you're right. There is no time for it. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. How do we persuade the Oregon Senate Republicans to walk out and stop this madness? And friends, it's just beginning. The madness. You're going to learn more and more and more. And folks, if some of you missed it, State Senator Brian Boquist sent his newsletter out, I think it was last week, talking about this sleeper bill, Senate Bill 296, which he says suspends habeas corpus in Oregon, which he says allows Guantanamo Bay-style detentions of people. And ostensibly, this is just to allow judges, you know, during an emergency to, well, not have to stick to the timelines that are in the law, you know, about how long you can be held and, you know, once you've been arrested and that kind of thing. You know, it just suspends the timelines during an emergency. Is that a good thing? How long has Kate Brown kept this emergency going? No, I'm serious, folks. How long does she keep saying, well, you know, another 2 months? And then in another 2 months, oh, yeah, we've opened up schools, but we've got to have the emergency in place. And then another 2 months. So the Oregon Senate Republicans can sit there and say, you know, I mean, all right, so it's, yeah, it's a gun bill that creates all these felony traps because it allows any government entity to basically to declare that, nah, you can't enter into our facility with a concealed carry permit because you folks that do that, you can't be trusted. You're dangerous. You make us feel uncomfortable because you're out there committing all these crimes. Well, no, sorry, they're not. We're the law-abiding people. Oh, and the bill still allows adjacent property. So, again, you could go to, say, the Canby City Hall, and the adjacent property is also covered under this bill. Oh, yeah, they say they fixed it. Well, they didn't. It was only for Portland International Airport, and it still isn't fixed for that. You can just go on the adjacent property. You may not even know it. I could be driving through Canby and pull into Safeway. I'm not a resident of Canby. I don't know that there's a notice there on the front door of Canby City Hall that says, this is a gun-free zone. A open invitation for any crazy person with a gun to walk in there and start shooting the folks. See, I don't know that because I don't live in Canby. I'm just driving through town on my way to Oregon City, let's say. And I happen to stop at Safeway or whatever business is adjacent. Guess what? I'm now a felon because it's a felony to walk in there with a weapon as a concealed carry holder who's passed a background check, by the way, who has to pass it every few years when you renew your license. Now, that's the absurdity of it, but what does it mean to the average person? What it means to the average unthinking folks that is just listening to the rhetoric and saying, oh, yeah, we shouldn't have all these people carrying guns. It's like the lady yesterday at the meeting who asked me, so how do we respond when people say, you know, they like the way these bills sound because they talk about justice? I mean, and who's against justice? Nobody is. We're all for justice, aren't we? But when the justice takes away my rights, how is that justice for me? When this little bill that public and senators, you know, really don't think threatens them a whole lot. Senate Bill 554 that creates all of these gun felony traps for CHL holders. Well, it really doesn't matter. It's not that big a deal. So a school decides to ban guns in their buildings. Will it matter if a criminal walks in there who doesn't care about the law with a gun and starts shooting people? Because everybody who gets shot at that point, I bet would kind of wish that there was somebody there, a law-abiding citizen with a gun to protect them, innocent life. Because that's exactly what we hear when we have these shootings in schools in Oregon from the people who are the victims. It would have been nice if a teacher had had a gun and could have shot and killed Kip Kinkle a long time ago before he killed two people and wounded a whole lot of people. They wish they'd have had a gun because they could have saved lives. Because one thing's for sure, when you have gun-free zones, unless you got cops standing there and metal detectors, it's an open invitation to the bad guys to come in and start shooting. How do we fix it? How do we get the Republicans to figure this out? Well, the only thing they're going to respond to at this point is a greater fear of you and I than it is of how they look or the next election. This is why we need to be burning down the phone lines, so to speak, inundating their email boxes, writing actual letters. Because they ain't opening up the Capitol anytime soon, folks. And it was interesting, Mike Nierman yesterday at the meeting said, you know, and the excuse here is that they're saying, well, you Republicans, you're not wearing your mask in your offices. So, you know, we can't open the building till you guys start complying. The last thing they want, and Mike Nierman made this point yesterday, the last thing the Democrats want is a bunch of loggers, is a bunch of Second Amendment people, is a bunch of moms against forced vaccinations, roaming the halls, talking to their staff, showing up in committee hearings, holding rallies outside. Because it makes it harder for them to ram their agenda down our throats. It's the last thing they want. So they're not opening the Capitol, folks. It's my prediction to you. It just ain't going to happen. Even though the Marion County Courthouse has been open almost the entire time this COVID emergency orders have been in place. Back in a moment, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. There's more. We'll get to it.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Eric Azer, Righteous Renovations, is a contractor you can trust. Don't take my word for it. Go to his website. And not only look at the great pictures of some of the incredible remodels they've done, he and his team, but read the great satisfied customer comments. The thing is you really don't know unless you know a contractor is going to do what they say they're going to do. Because if you've ever had it or had horror stories, you've heard of other people that got their kitchen torn apart and the contractor got too busy with other things and it was torn apart for weeks. There's nothing that disrupts your life worse than that. You don't worry about that with Righteous Renovations. Go to his website, righteousrenovations.com, righteousrenovations.com. You can check out, again, all of the satisfied customer comments and look at a lot of great pictures. To the phones, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. We'll talk to Rich. Rich, good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
You know, I had a pretty good weekend. How about you, friend?
Well, not bad. I have the same frustrations you have, but here's my point. On the gun control, remember KPIX had that guy with his TV camera stolen at Twin Peaks in San Francisco. So how's their gun ban doing for them?
Well.
I'm sorry, that was broad daylight. And then the next thing is, we think Kate Brown's going to open up the Capitol building, we're all delusional, because she's going to keep it down until after they decide to shut down the legislature for this session.
Oh, I think so. I think so. I think they intend to ram through every bit of radical leftist idea that they possibly can. And the only way that this can get stopped is for Republican senators to walk out, shut it down, and then negotiate coming back in. Now, yeah. Negotiations mean, Rich, that they'll have to give up a little something to stop a lot of bad stuff.
This Lindsey Graham, well, for years I thought he was a Democrat from the way he voted, so why is he whining now? Is it because he's going to be cut out of some money?
Probably.
And then you get back to this habeas corpus with Boquist was talking about, I think it's tragic and terrible, but I'm not too sure why he jumped on that red flag law as fast as he did, which is the start of this.
Well, we know why. It's because
I know, but it's dangerous.
Son committed suicide. Oh, it is, and it, you know, it's death by a thousand cuts, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is that even though he had a problem, it is going to manifest into the rest of us for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much the red flag laws have helped. Seriously.
Neither do I. I'm just saying, I lost a friend of mine that way, but I didn't take it out on the other than it was his problem.
Right.
So, anyway, that's all I had. Just remember that broad daylight, they were filming up at Twin Peaks in San Francisco, and somehow somebody who had a gun, now how could you have that when they've banned guns in San Francisco, grabbed it, came out of their car in broad daylight at gunpoint and took their camera.
Because criminals don't obey the laws. Right? What a strange idea that Democrats just can't seem to understand.
They just want us to be just like any other communist country, like Venezuela or anywhere else, where you turn in your guns and they can do what they want.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thanks, brother.
I'll be back.
So, in the U.S. Senate, folks, there is this thing called the filibuster. And right now, it takes 60 votes to break a filibuster. Okay? It just does. It's a 50-50 tie in the Senate, right? Now, Kamala Harris is breaking the tie because she's the president of the Senate. So the way that Democrats can force new gun bills down our throats from the federal government can admit Puerto Rico to the Union, and which is a liberal place that will elect two Democrat senators. They're going to have a little harder time doing that with Washington, D.C., because Mark Levin's made a very strong case that Washington, D.C. is specifically mentioned and covered in the U.S. Constitution. That would take a constitutional amendment, likely. But Puerto Rico isn't. Or Guam or any place else that the leftists want to bring into the Union so that they can maintain permanent control. To do that, to do anything else, you know, they passed this massive $1.9 trillion un-COVID relief bill, pork bill, under reconciliation, which allows a simple vote. There's, you know, the filibuster didn't have any play into that. But Joe Manchin is the key now to the filibuster. And there's a piece in the Daily Wire by Ryan Saavedra about that Manchin starts to crack on the filibuster and is signaling openness to change, choosing his words very carefully on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. He just used the talking points of the left. And in fact, the left-wing TPM website, Josh Marshall, tweeted out a clip of the interview and noted that a Manchin is apparently adopting the talking point that leftists are pushing in their attempts to do away with the filibuster. Now, this is important because there's another piece by my friend, my old buddy, Wayne Allen Root, that is in the Gateway Pundit. And I'll get to that when we come back. It's about how Joe Manchin can change the course of history. How he can be that brave man that saves the Republic. We'll see if he will. Back in a moment. It's episode 30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 24 minutes to the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Thank you, Avis, for sending me the email from Marion and Polk First, which is a little political action committee set up as promoting opportunity and prosperity in Marion and Polk counties. And the subject of is don't let them change the rules during an election. You have till today at noon to send in comments about the Salem-Keizer School District, because the board is apparently considering a proposal that massively changes how the election works 70 days before the election is over. It's switching from district-wide voting to by the zones. The proposal, they write, is not bad in and of itself, and nor does Marion and Polk First PAC oppose it. In fact, there's a link to this email where you can read more about it. However, they strongly oppose politicians changing the rules at the last minute. During an election, there was no public data-driven process to find the best possible election reform. Instead, an incumbent on the board seeking re-election, an outside special interest decided they needed to change the rules during the election. This is resolution number 202021, 2021-3. 2021-3. And you can oppose it. The comments are due today. And you want to mark, if you send an email to the Salem Kaiser School Board, you want to say you're against resolution 202021-3. And there's a link you can go to. And I'll try to get this on the show plan so that you can see that on my Facebook page. Yeah, you don't change rules in the middle of an election or just before an election, especially if there's no process, especially if it benefits one person or one group of people. Gee, didn't they do that in Pennsylvania? Didn't they do that in Georgia? Yeah, they did. Look how that turned out. Not too well, did it? Anyway, folks, you go to Marion and Polk first. Okay? It's Marion. Just Google it up or DuckDuckGo it. It's at MarionPolkFirst.com. MarionPolkFirst.com. That's the website. Okay? Again, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I'm going to get to Ron in a moment. Wayne Root, my buddy from Las Vegas, who does he has a Newsmax TV show during the day. He wrote an open letter to Senator Joe Manchin. And it's about how one brave man can save America and change the course of history. And he starts off by saying, this is not your father's Democrat Party. These people are certified insane. Either that, or they're all hardcore radical socialists and communists hell-bent on turning America into Cuba, Greece, or Venezuela. I believe it's a combination of both. And he goes on to say, you know, John F. Kennedy would never be accepted in today's Democrat Party. JFK believed in all the same things as I do. He was pro-business, supported lower taxes, believed in strong borders, loved the military, most of all, hated communists. JFK is rolling over in his grave. The communists he fought are now running today's Democratic Party. By the standards of today, JFK is clearly a Republican. By those same standards of today, U.S. Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia is a Republican too. Joe Manchin represents 100% God-fearing conservative values, anti-open borders, pro-fossil fuel, coal country, West Virginia. Today's Democrat Party has passed Joe Biden by, and it no longer represents his constituents. And he goes on talking about all of these things that Joe shouldn't be standing for. You think your voters want transgender men playing women's sports, Joe? You think your voters want boys who think they're girls in the bathrooms and locker rooms with their daughters? Here's what I think. I think Joe Manchin is scared to death. He knows he's in bed with crazy people. He knows he's surrounded by communists, socialists, economic suicide bombers, and racists who hate rural white people from places like West Virginia. But I have a solution to save America, the people of West Virginia, and Joe Manchin's career. And it's a win-win for everybody. Flip Joe Manchin and we flip the world. Joe Manchin needs to become a Republican. That changes everything. And Kamala Harris is meaningless then. We instantly save America. We instantly save the U.S. energy industry. We save millions of U.S. jobs. We instantly checkmate the entire crazy communist Biden agenda. We instantly change the course of history. with that one single move, Joe Manchin becomes the most famous, powerful, and beloved politician in America. Joe Manchin can change the course of history. Let's hope that happens. Let's hope that he finds the courage to do it, because he's right on. And that means that this garbage that's going to come from Washington, D.C. will be stopped, all of it. And Joe Manchin will continue to get reelected. Why? Because his state has turned red. He knows it. If for some reason he flipped on the COVID bill, the $1.9 trillion thing. I hope he doesn't flip on the filibuster. If there's one politician in D.C. you for sure need to pray for, it's Joe Manchin, to do the right thing. Leave the Democrat Party, become a Republican. It ain't going to hurt him. In fact, it'll make sure that he stays in office as long as he wants. All right, to the phones. We'll start first with Ron and move on. Ron, good morning. What do you say, brother?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Good day. Good morning, most of all.
Good morning to you.
Talking about little Tim Knope, he's useless. I'm sorry. I've seen him wishy-washy last year. He barely done the right thing the year before. Fence setters, as we know, they've been thrown out. And you know something? Little Timmy needs to grow a pair or get the hell out, because he's going to wind up being forced out of Deschutes County one way or another if he don't stand up for liberty. On the rest of this situation, we got to make decisions. People got to do the right thing.
Yes.
And
that's
at
right.
the same time, if we're going to live in fear, why live? Live life, stand up, grow a pair. And anybody that doesn't, that's in the GOP, they don't get my blessings. Because here's how the situation is. If they ever want to run a state office, they got to go in the jungle and do like Dennis Richardson and talk. And just like in Multnomah, Washington, Clackamas County. Clackamas County got it figured out, but the other two counties, if they're going for a state office, they won't even address. They'll appease or don't say nothing to the people that they should be talking to. I don't care what color. I don't care what economic stand you got to make. You're not going to, if you don't deal with it, you're not going to win. And the last thing, my brother, is that Kate, hateful Kate, I like to call her Jezebel Crow Brown, because she's no worse than Wilson. She's trying to subjugate through segregation any policy possible. And she would not like to see that marble nut house, or as I call it, should be called, a people's house, open for anybody, unless you want to line her wallet. That's all I got to say.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do you think, Ron, do you think that other black Oregonians are feeling like they're just being used by Kate Brown with all this pandering, Black Lives Matter and special funds only for black people? I mean, what's your sense of that?
My sense of it depends where you're at in the valley here. If you're talking to some of the ones that live in the rural areas, some live along the gorge, they think that Kate Brown's a POS. If you're talking about the ones in North Portland, some around Salem, the Democrat can't do no wrong. They drank the plantation Kool-Aid so damn much, they pissed me off, with all the respect. And I grew up in L.A. Okay. I did not serve my country 31 years ago for this mess. That's about the best way I can describe it.
You're right, brother. Thanks for the response. I appreciate it. Art, hang on. I'll get you on the other side of the break. Oh, 7:48. Last opportunity to call and talk about stuff we're talking about. Hey, comment on it. Come back. Come on and sing my
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Before we go to Art, I want to remind you that, you know, I use CBD because it really works for me. And I mean, it makes me sleep better, and I have a lot less pain. And if you're like me, and you've been relying on drugs, why don't you try CBD? But just don't try any CBD. Really want to encourage you to try the products made by a Salem-based company, Pro Bioscience. They use only Oregon-grown CBD, which, as you know, is absolutely of the highest quality there is. Because Oregon has the toughest standards in growing CBD. You know, you don't always get, and this is the problem. In fact, there's been a number of so-called CBD companies that have been fined because the product they're selling doesn't contain what they say it does. You don't have that concern with Pro Bioscience, because their products right here in Oregon are guaranteed to be everything they say it is. So that ought to give you some confidence. Personally, I use their products because they work fantastic for me. I also know these people. They're honest. And you can get a very high quality product that can make you feel better and be really good for your body. That is all natural. It's not drugs. And it's not full of all kinds of stuff that's going to hurt your body. And if you're in a sensitive position where maybe you have to be randomly drug tested, or you are in a zero tolerance position, they have products that will never show up on a test, and yet you still get the benefit of CBD. Check out their website, pro-bioscience.com. That's pro, the dash mark, bioscience.com. And if you buy any of their great products online, for the month of March, use the discount code CHANGE. It's change of seasons, right? CHANGE. And you get 15% off. Pro-Bioscience.com. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Art, good morning. Hi, Art. Art, are you there? Can't hear him. Okay, well, maybe we'll try to get that fixed. I don't know why I can't hear Art today. And apparently I can't. All right. So we've got lots of challenges in Oregon. You know, we've got the Democrats wanting to put a new tax, a new timber tax, on timber that is supposedly going to help with wildfire and emergency preparedness. Well, the Association of Oregon Counties has come out against it. And if you watch any of the TV commercials out there, what's interesting is they have someone who is from a burnt out community in Oregon talking about putting a new tax on just when they're trying to rebuild. Because putting a new tax on timber in Oregon is not going to help. In fact, it's going to hurt. It'll cost jobs. And it'll cost you more. Because if you want to build something, that new tax means your cost of lumber is going to go up. Except, at what point do we raise the cost of lumber in Oregon so much so that we import lumber from other places like Washington State or Idaho or Northern California? In communities that are burnt out that have lumber mills get further hurt because those lumber mills shut down. You see, we're not in, they're not raising taxes, the Oregon legislature, on everybody's timber. Canada, Washington, Idaho, just Oregon. This is why we have to be active, folks. Dennis Linthicum, by the way, is one of our great state senators from Klamath Falls, Republican. And you can see this on OregonWatchdog.com. He issued a statement about Governor Brown extending her emergency orders under the guise of COVID-19 safety measures. Even though, of course, COVID-19 is in a dramatic decline. And schools are opening up, right? He wrote, the COVID-19 emergency is over. However, Governor Kate Brown's unconstitutional government overreach and unscientific emergency orders that undermine Oregonians at every turn will be continuing. The never-ending emergency declarations create a perpetual excuse for bureaucratic expansion that robs Oregonians of their livelihoods and forces every person to adapt to a lower quality of life. If Governor Brown truly followed the science, Oregonians would not be subjected to these bogus emergency orders, which grant the governor the power to decree the closures of industries, schools, and daily life on a whim and under the guise of safety. The statistics show seasonal influenza has all but disappeared in Oregon as every sniffle, cold, and headache has been lumped into the COVID-19 money pot. They say the flu has disappeared due to masking and social distancing, yet in the same breath, we're told we need to be doing more, including wearing 2 or 3 masks. Doesn't make sense. But that's the point. Governor Brown and her cronies can continue to install chaos, or instill rather, chaos and concern to maintain unchecked power. This is not an idle accusation. Right now, our national COVID-19 effort has cost more than the entire experience in World War II. While COVID-19 antibody testing suggests the case fatality rate is far lower than reported, these data suggest there are far better ways to keep people from dying than full-scale draconian lockdowns. He concludes by saying it's time for Oregonians to stand against Governor Brown's power-hungry emergency orders that needlessly infringe on our communities and shutter our businesses and lead to the destruction of livelihoods and our society. So if you want to make a difference, nobody likes wearing a mask. Most people are accepting it and has believed, and they believed the lie. The polling shows that it works. If mask work and social distancing works to the point where now we have a falling COVID-19, why are they telling us we need to wear 2 or 3 masks if it's working today? That's something you might be able to have a conversation with a persuadable person about, right? Or maybe their daughter having a guy walk into their bathroom. It's okay. Because it ain't. Stacy ends up next. Good morning, Salem. 7:59. See you tomorrow, friends. Be blessed.